Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Double Dangerous Book for Boys is a non-fiction companion volume by Con Eagledon that extends the idea behind The Dangerous Book for Boys. Like its predecessor, it is built as a curated manual of practical skills, historical snippets, games, and things to know, rather than a continuous narrative. Its purpose is to encourage curiosity, self-reliance, and hands-on learning in a format that feels part reference book, part activity guide, and part cultural sampler. The book is aimed especially at boys, though its contents are broadly usable by any reader who enjoys discovering how things work, how to make things, and why certain knowledge has lasting value. It draws on traditional subjects that are often absent from modern digital life, including letter writing, coins, law, poems, and board games, while also preserving a tone of adventure and informal education. A curated antidote to purely screen-based learning, the central idea of the book is not simply to teach isolated facts, but to restore forms of knowledge that are often learned through experience, memory, and doing. The selection of topics shows a deliberate effort to pull readers away from passive consumption and toward participation. Instead of relying on a linear curriculum, the book offers short, varied entries that can be browsed in any order. That structure matters because it makes the book usable as both a reference and a spark for action. A reader can move from a poem to a practical skill, then to a historical note or a game-making project, without losing the sense that the material belongs together. This variety is what gives the book its identity. It treats education as something broad and alive, where language, history, craftsmanship, and observation all reinforce one another. In that sense, the book is less about mastery of one subject than about building a habit of curiosity across many subjects. Secondly, practical instructions that turn reading into direct action. A major feature of the book is its emphasis on usable, concrete tasks. Topics such as writing a thank you letter, making a board game, and identifying old American coins are small in scale but important in method. They train readers to follow procedures, notice details, and complete an activity that has a real outcome. This practical orientation distinguishes the book from collections that only celebrate trivia or nostalgia. The skills are presented as accessible, but they still require attention and judgment, which gives the reader a sense of competence. Even when the subject is playful, such as a homemade game or a simple experiment, the deeper lesson is that knowledge becomes more meaningful when it leads to something tangible. The book, therefore, operates as a bridge between reading and making. Its value lies not only in what it tells readers, but in how it invites them to use the information immediately, whether for solitary learning or shared family activity. Thirdly, a broad cultural mix of literature, history, law, and the world, the book is notable for how freely it moves across domains that are usually separated in school subjects. Poems sit alongside questions about the law, great tales of the past, and questions about the world, which gives the book a deliberately eclectic character. This mix suggests that becoming knowledgeable is not just about technical skill, but about having a wide frame of reference. The literary side of the book preserves memorable texts and language patterns, while the historical material encourages readers to see themselves in relation to older generations and events. Legal and civic questions add a practical understanding of how society works, and world-oriented sections expand the reader's sense of geography and culture. The result is a compact form of general education that values range over specialization. Rather than arguing that one subject is central, the book implies that everyday intelligence depends on being able to connect many kinds of information. That is one reason the book feels old-fashioned in a productive way. It assumes that broad knowledge still matters. Fourthly, an intergenerational book shaped by father-son reading and shared discovery, the book fits into a tradition of books meant to be opened, discussed, and used together rather than read alone and shelved. Its presentation and content encourage adults and children to explore it side by side, especially because many entries invite demonstration, explanation, or conversation. This is one reason the book has been associated with family reading and with fathers sharing knowledge with sons. That social dimension changes how the book functions. It is not only a repository of information, but also a prompt for mentoring, storytelling, and practical teaching. The tone supports that use by avoiding heavy theory and by favoring direct, approachable entries. Even when a topic is unfamiliar, the book tends to frame it as something that can be tried, discussed, or looked up further. In this sense, the book is as much about transmission as instruction. It preserves the idea that knowledge can pass from one generation to another through shared attention, not just through formal schooling or online search. Lastly, a nostalgic format that updates the classic boys' guidebook for modern readers. The Double Dangerous Book for Boys belongs to a recognizable tradition of guidebooks that combine useful facts, amusements, and practical knowledge for young readers. What makes it distinctive is the way it updates that tradition without abandoning its old-fashioned flavor. The book uses the appeal of classic compendiums, but its content is organized for contemporary readers who may be more likely to encounter information in fragmented digital form. By gathering poems, instructions, historical notes, and small projects into one volume, it creates a physical object that invites browsing and repeated use. The nostalgia is not merely decorative, it is part of the book's argument that certain forms of knowledge are worth preserving because they remain enjoyable and useful. At the same time, the book is broader than its title suggests, since its material can appeal to adults and to readers of any gender who enjoy practical learning. Its place in the genre comes from balancing remembrance of older cultural habits with a modern appetite for accessible, modular content. In conclusion, The Double Dangerous Book for Boys will appeal most to readers who enjoy practical knowledge, short-form reference material, and books that encourage active learning. It is especially suitable for middle grade and teen readers, as well as parents, teachers, and adults who want a shared book for browsing, discussion, and low-pressure instruction. Its chief benefit is not just the information it contains, but the way it encourages readers to use that information writing a note, making a game, thinking about history, or noticing details in the world around them. Intellectual value comes from its breadth, since it connects literature, civics, history, and hands-on making in a single volume. Practical value comes from its approachable tasks and memorable format. Compared with similar activity books or general knowledge guides, it stands out because it combines nostalgia, usefulness, and cultural preservation without becoming rigidly academic. It feels selective rather than exhaustive, which gives it personality and makes it easy to revisit. That blend of variety, accessibility, and intergenerational appeal is what most clearly distinguishes it. If you would like to support Khan at Golden, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.